And we get back to the hotel and a phone goes. And it's a journalist. He said, will you come and talk to us? I said, yeah. He said, come tonight to a restaurant. So we go to the restaurant. It's in the back of somebody's garden and there's a fountain in the middle of the restaurant. It's fantastic. It's just, and the water doesn't come from the centre to the side. It goes from the side to the centre, which is really calming for some bizarre reason. There's nice lights. There's plants. There's music. It's just fantastic. And there's Maggie, there's Bahar, there's Kate, Fiona, me. This guy comes and sits down. He's the journalist. May I congratulate you on your choice of table? Yes, you may.
Huh?
Any particular reason? Yes, it is next to that table. What's good about that table? Oh, on that table? That man there is the Turkish state prosecutor for the region. That man there is the Turkish state judge for the region. That man there is the Turkish state intelligence officer for the region. These are his colleagues. They are having a nice night out. And I look at the guys who are responsible for the meat machine. They're responsible for the legality of the meat machine. And they look like fucking golfers. They got nice button-down shirts. They got that big, chunky, sloppy jewellery that rich people with no class wear. Their legs are apart a little bit. They're dipping into their stuff. They've got cigarettes. And they've got those little flash gold lighters on the top, which they twiddle with occasionally when they finish with their pitter. And I'm looking at them and I can almost hear. All right, Barry, nicely. How's it going? All right, lovely. Four, mind you, fucking handicapped. Say what you like. Look at that soft up, easy capri. No, fuck off, leave it. Four wheel, lovely, all right. Penis, pitter, lovely, fags, lovely gold. And I want to talk to the journalist, but he can't talk because he's been in front of these people. So Fiona, the lawyer, she decides to behave like a tourist to distract attention so that me and the journalist can talk. She starts. You know, Maggie, my first husband was absolutely useless. He couldn't find it if you grabbed his hand and rubbed it upon it yourself. Tell me, Maggie, what's your boyfriend like? Can he find the button for you? Does he bring you... What the fuck are you talking? Just play along, play along. Okay, take a photograph. More wine. Uma paloma blanca. How many people were killed? About four people. I see them myself. Suddenly, Fiona carries on. You know my second one? Oh, he was fantastic. Took me to the top. I was hanging off the ceiling. Trouble was, he took every fucking woman in the area to the top as well. What about you, Maggie? Does your boyfriend keep his cock in his pants for you? Any good? Mm-hmm. What the fuck are you? Come on, play along. Okay, more photos. Uma paloma blanca. So how many people were killed on the air raids? About 40. I see the bodies myself are going to Iraq. Suddenly, this guy comes past with his train. He goes, regional delicacies. They're regional delicacies. I said, no, thanks. I don't eat meat. He said, there is no meat. They're just sheep's intestines. Thanks. And suddenly, I'm looking at the golfers, and you know what fucking just does me in? I can't say a fucking word. I'm looking at the people responsible for murder. And I can't say, if I say anything, the people I'm with are fucked. I can't do a thing. And I begin to remember each and every person that we spoke to. Each and every Kurd, from a six-year-old girl who's not allowed to go to school, but pokes her head through the railings every fucking lunchtime when she breaks away from work, so her classmates can tell her what she's missed. And somebody said, wow, she's a real fucking bright, sparky kid. She's going to go far. Apart from the fact that she's poor, a woman, and a Kurd, you've got it on a fucking plate, man. And you remember each and every one as you look at the fucking golfers. Each and every one from the mothers of the disappeared who sit there in Ankara. Women who are, all their crime is to stand on the street with photographs of their loved ones who have been disappeared. As in Chile, as in Argentina, as in El Salvador. And they will tell you how the police beat them each and every week when they stand there with their photograph. And you sit there and you go, fuck, that's incredible. And they lift their shawl and you can see their necks and their shoulders are black and blue. And you listen and you hear and you listen and remember every fucking person from the lawyers who sit there. And I said, how many people get arrested? He said, people don't say they're being arrested here. They say we're being taken in to be tortured. I said, what do you mean by torture? He said, well, roughly this is what happens. Not every time, but roughly this is what happens. You get picked up off the street, you're taken in a car, you're handcuffed, you're blindfolded. You're taken to some waste ground. Maybe they'll mock execute you. Maybe they'll put your gun to your head. Maybe they'll wait till you piss your pants, they'll put you in the car, take you back, hit you on the cells. Then they'll strip you naked, hit you with the water cannons, beat you. Then they'll begin to electrocute you. That is not what happens every time, but roughly that is what happens. I was lucky, he said, I was lucky. When I was taken in, I was merely beaten. I was lucky, he said. And you remember each and every one of those. From another lawyer who said, I'm sorry, you know, I'm late. I had to scrape four Kurds off a fucking thing because they hit a landmine. How many times does this happen? About 15 times this year. Fuck, that's bad. You think that's bad? There's a family down there who were forced across a fucking landmine field by the Turkish authorities. That's fucking bad. You remember each and every one. From a fucking lad who's sitting in this fucking shanty town. And I said, where are you from? And he says, Lije. Lije and Shirnak. I said, do you remember what happened? He said, we know what happened there. That place was bombed. 72 hours. They killed nearly 1,000 people. They poisoned the water. They burnt the fruit trees. They killed the livestock. It is an event comparable to fucking Halabja. I said, you know what happens? He said, I was a witness to what happens. I said, how old are you? He nearly burst into tears. He said, I'm 28. And he nearly burst into tears because he looks 55 and he fucking knows it. He knows he looks broken and shit. And you remember each and every one. From the women lawyers who sit there and say, they say, you know, we're taking a case now of 136 women to court who have been raped by the Turkish military and have had no redress in the court. Do you know how widespread this has to be for that many people to come forward? You remember the 22-year-old woman who smiled. She smiled as she describes how she and her mother and sister are raped. And when they finish, they hit them with the water cannons and they make them hold hands and they begin to electrocute them. And she smiled. And you remember the woman who's picked up with a 2.5-year-old son and raped in front of her son. And when they finish with her, they throw the boy on top of her and said, fuck your mother! You terrorist scum! And I wanted to kill those golfers. I'm a fucking pacifist and I wanted to take their worthless lives. And I'll tell you this, man, it's a fucking credit to people like Kariah Karim who have been through fucking shit, come out the other side and said, we're not going to fucking fight this the way that they do. We're going to find a peaceful way. And I begin to sort of sit there in this restaurant and you begin to play the movie of how you'd like things to turn out. And in my movie, the fucking woman comes out. This woman comes out of the fountain and she leads into the golfers and she's carrying a gun. And she... And it's really time to go home. And I go back to the hotel that we're staying in. And I'm reading this book. This is a book of my notes from the trip. It's every single Kurdish person we spoke to. It's their testimony in this book. And I'm sitting there and I'm reading the book. And I'm raging. I'm not fucked up. I'm freaked out. I'm not full of sorrow. I'm so angry. And the woman comes back from the fountain. And this time she says what every single person we met says. She says, when you get home, you tell them everything. You tell them everything. And I haven't really even touched the surface. They're building a dam in Yusufeli in Turkey. A British company called Amec are talking to the Export Credit Guarantee Department for 68 million. Tomorrow, we buy shares in Amec. Thanks for coming.
Because tonight we're celebrating our victory, I'd like to meet all the people from the stories. Would you please welcome all the people from Kurdish Human Rights, Mr. Diari. Please welcome Friends of the Earth, our friends Heva, Indra. Where's Nick? We want everyone out here. We should have Nick and Karim. This is Fiona, this is Nick, this is Karai. Stella, come forward, man. This is Kurdish Human Rights. Karim. Thank you for coming because this is all of our victories tonight. Thank you for coming. This is their victory. Thank you. Yeah. I've just got to say that these flowers are the flower. These colours are the colours of the Kurdish colours. And if I had this bunch of flowers in Turkey, I'd be in prison right now. Please support Kurdish human rights. Please support Kurdish solidarity. This is a Kurdish flag. Hopefully one day we'll see it as a homeland.
Thanks, one man.
Giles! Giles! This is Giles. Thanks very much for coming along. Thank you.